Good morning, and thank you for joining me today. I am your host, David. Welcome to Tube Talk, the best podcast about coiled tube set manufacturing. This week, I am joined by Howie Speeden. Howie is the longest tenured employee out of ATS Life Sciences Chicago, boasting 30 plus years of experience as our senior applications engineer and specialist. He utilizes his extensive engineering experience with projects over the years to develop sound engineering concepts in conjunction with competitive pricing to solve our customers' most challenging assembly processes. Today, we will be talking about the evolution of tube set manufacturing. Howie, welcome to Tube Talk. Thank you for being on our first episode of the podcast.
Oh, thank you for the invite.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here. So if you're ready, I'd love to just get started.
Sure.
Yeah, so first off, I'd love to hear a bit about how long have automated tube set machines been on the market, and how many years has ATS been building tube set machines?
Sure. Well, so I've been with ATS over 30 years, and actually machines to assemble tube sets have been around at least that long, if not even longer. Mm-hmm. Albeit the market or the type of programs may be a little bit different. But in terms of the market need or the industry need, it's been around for quite a while, and it primarily driven by volume. That's, you know, when we think about tube sets, you walk into a hospital and you see an IV set, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. It's a disposable product, and it's just a high volume product. Yeah. Within the industry.
Yeah. And so ATS has really been in that market. For quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to say the least, right? So kind of moving on here. When tube set assembly first began, how was it done?
So, interestingly enough, the fundamentals were the same. You have the tube, which is usually supplied, wound up on a reel, so to say. So we had to take that and automatically pull a certain or feed out at a certain length, cut it. We'd have to put some kind of solvent on the ends of the tube, insert a fitting. And we had some quality checks just to make sure that we actually did indeed put it on. And then, the tube was either unloaded to what we call a reject container or was unloaded in what we call an acceptable product container. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying the fundamentals were the same. You know, when I think back, you know, kind of in preparation for this call, some of the program complexity, I think, was a little bit not as challenging, if you will. And what I mean by that is, if you take a look at, let's say, the anatomy of a tube set, infusion or administration set, it really comprises a lot of different segments. You'll have a tube, then you'll have a fitting, and you have another tube, you have another fitting, and so forth. And well, a lot of times what our customers, what they did is they would just identify, or when you look at the set, some of the segments were really identical from one product code to the next, and anywhere in between, that's where the bespoke activity kind of occurred. So they would just more or less scope out, or the requirements were just to assemble these common sets, if you will. Some of the names there are called proximal or distal, or, you know, the section close to your body or the section close maybe to the IV bag or whatever you're paying the medicine out of, so to say. So now when I think about, flash forward now, I don't want to say the market's saturated because there's always new developments. But our customers are really targeting or requesting is, okay, you know, we know ATS, you've automated the front end half, you've automated back half. So let's talk about putting the whole complete set together. So just, you know, one of maybe the difference between what we used to do 20 years ago, 30 years ago, to what we're kind of seeing come across the desk now, so to say.
Yeah, that's really interesting to see that kind of, you paint that picture. And on to my next question, building off exactly what you were saying. I'm hoping you can highlight some of the most significant changes when we're looking back 20 years on how tube sets were assembled.
Sure. So, you know, if I think of it as maybe in a couple categories, the first, I guess, let's maybe talk about the technical portion of it. Of course, you know, ATS being an innovative company that we are, we're always focused on lessons learned. What could we have done better, whether it be for ourselves or more importantly, what could we have done better for the customer? It may have been small step changes, maybe making something a little bit more adjustable, mm-hmm. Making it easy, a little more accessible, and so forth. So that type of activity has occurred throughout the years. Probably at least, maybe selfishly, but from my perspective, what I've always found fascinating is just the advancement of a technology. One, like when we take a look at the sensors, the sensor type of field. Mm-hmm. I mean, years ago, vision system is just looking at a part optically. It was in its infancy. And it was a lot of work for a very low output, so to say, in terms of results. Now, using that type of technology, it's more a standard practice. And just the types of critical to quality attributes that you could sense, it's really amazing, again, compared to 20 years ago. And that kind of even expands to the scanners, the way we can inspect the tube, checking for burn marks and so forth. It all stems to critical to quality. Mm-hmm. Probably another technology that I think has really advanced what our equipment can do is just the introduction of using linear motion technology. 20, 30 years ago, most of our machines were mechanically driven. Mm-hmm. If you think of the cams in a car driving your lifters back and forth, that's what a lot of our machines were. They were cams just driving motions to put fittings together. Well, now with the advent of linear motion technology, we can just combine the best of both worlds. And really the result of it is we get flexibility when needed. And in many cases, we get higher throughput with the machines just using the new technology. And then again, staying in the bracket of technical, again, what I find is attractive is just the data collection that I see more and more on equipment. A lot of it is prompted by ATS Innovation Group with the advent of the Illuminate software. But just having all that data at your fingertips, it just helps us as integrators as we develop the machinery, and it also helps our customers just assure that their equipment is running in top-notch performance per se.
Yeah.
The commercial, I talked about the different types of machines, what they assembled 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We focus more on segments of a set, but now we're taking a look at assembling the complete set. So that's commercially, that's what I'm seeing more recently. But also just a higher throughput. Don't want to understate it. Any time you assemble a medical device, it's critical, right? I mean, it's going to be hooked up to us. It's going to be hooked up to our loved ones. So it's got to work. It's a commodity product, and our customers, it's not like there's a huge profit margin on it. So we're constantly being challenged to increase the throughput of our machine without growing the size for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, these machines are installed in clean rooms, so mm-hmm. clean room floor space is critical. So they just want more for the same size or even less. So those two brackets, that's what I kind of see within the 20 years per se, advancement, if you will.
Yeah, Howie, thank you. That was a really thoughtful answer. That was very insightful. Moving on to the next question here. What are some of the best practices for tube set assembly that have been discovered over the years?
Well, so if we start at the beginning of the process, I mentioned that the tubes are presented and, wound on a reel from the extrusion press. Well, when we pull a length, let's say we have to pull a tube length 6 inches long. Well, there's a certain tolerance that is required. We got to keep in mind whenever we're talking about handling tube, it's basically like handling a spaghetti. It's not solid. There's no column strength. So there's a lot of techniques and a lot of standards ATS has developed over the years just to handle that tube in an appropriate fashion to achieve the tolerance that our customers are looking for. Mm-hmm. Now, going back to my statement, you know, once we get this section of the tube in a machine, there's the overall tube control. We have to hold it in position for further processing. The way we apply solvent, which is a method of joining the fittings that you would see on the end of a tube to the tube, applying the solvent in a fashion that is uniform but not excessive. So that's been achieved through many iterations throughout the years. And then just the assembly on the fittings to assure that we get full insertion so there's no leaks. Of course, we don't want any occlusions. We don't want the tube blocked, if you will, preventing medicine from coming around. And likewise, in all the process, we want to make sure that we're not introducing some kind of particulate, which ultimately could wind up in a bloodstream, which obviously nobody wants. And a lot of that, and then I kind of touched on this before, it's just the inspections, how we could reliably deploy the inspections. And it's, you know, it's one thing to deploy it at our facility, but we also have to set it up in a fashion that our customers can maintain this.
Right.
Our customers all over the world, for that matter. So it's a thoughtful process, you know, how to install it, how to maintain it, and how to validate it.
Right. Speaking of customers and sort of the end user, what do these best practices have in terms of benefits for them?
So paramount, it's just critical to quality. It's that if they go to their machine and they have a bin that's designated as good, acceptable product to use, that they have 100% confidence that it is good and acceptable to use. The second is performance of the machine. Mm-hmm. Our customers, they pay a lot of money for the machine. They have expectations from their customer in terms of delivery. Mm-hmm. So the machine has to perform. And like any other machine, of course, it has to be maintained, which we help and we guide the customers for proper maintenance. But part of that maintenance is just the constant challenging and validating of the machine. So these little step change or these improvements that we made throughout the years, yes, it helps us during the integration phase, but it probably helps our customers more that we could transfer their technology and show them how to maintain their machine to ensure that they get high performance, or OEE as it's known in the market.
Right. And that flexibility is just so crucial.
So the flexibility is crucial. Again, when we handle a tube, it's sometimes it's a, I don't want to say moving target because that's not the case, but you're dealing with different durometers. Mm-hmm. From reel to reel. It could react differently. So, that's not a normal mode of operation, but sometimes it's something that our customer runs into. Mm-hmm. And we just give them the ability to adjust for that variability if need be.
Right. Well, Howie, that's all the questions I had for you today. Again, thank you for taking the time, and it's been an honor to have you on the first episode of Tube Talk.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it. Have a good day.
You as well. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be here with me and our guest, Howie Speeden. I'll see you next week with episode 2, breaking down the cost versus quality paradigm. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with your colleagues. Also, see this episode's show notes to learn more and read our latest blog post, Emerging Innovations in Tubeset Manufacturing.